is an interview with Dr. Elias Sady for the Youngstown State University Oral History Department at the Bell Park Professional Building, 1005 Belmont Avenue, Youngstown, Ohio, on Wednesday, November 22nd, 1978, at 3:30 p.m. All right, Dr. Sady, just to sort of get started here, do you want to tell me a little bit about yourself, where you were born, when, that type of thing?
I was born in August 28, 1932, in Youngstown.
Where?
St. Elizabeth's Hospital.
St. Elizabeth's, what's your background?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize it was that old.
Yeah.
Where were you educated? Tell me a little bit about that.
I went to Sacred Heart School, Norman School on the east side of Youngstown. My first 2 years of grade school were in the Shee High School, one of the city grade schools. Later became St. Mary Church. I went 2 years and the school was shut down. Then I moved to Sacred Heart High School, or Sacred Heart School, on the east side. Graduated from that, went to Ursuline High School. After Ursuline High School graduation, I attended Youngstown State University for 3 years. Got my bachelor's degree, and I went to Georgetown Medical School. Got my degree there.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I spent a year of internship at St. Elizabeth's Hospital, 3 years of medical residency at St. Elizabeth's Hospital, and spent a year in cardiology in Cleveland at the St. Vincent's Hospital, and came back. That was my time.
Where did you live when you were born?
I lived at 1207 Shee High Street.
Mm-hmm. Right near the school.
And a block away from the old Shee High School.
Which became the Shee High
School. Which became the second move for St. Mary's. Started out in Wilson, then moved to Shee High, and then went on to Buddy
Love. Do you remember where it was before it was at Wilson?
My recollection of the Wilson Avenue period of my childhood is not too good, but I think it started on Wilson Avenue, as far as I know.
Where did your father come from?
Father came from a village in Lebanon called Bijou, B-I-J-J-I. It's in the province or county of Byblos. In Arabic is Bayo, B-B-E-I-O. Byblos is a district which includes the city of Byblos, which is the oldest continually inhabited city in the world. That's where we get our current Bible, bibliography, etc. That's the place our home chapter.
How far is this city from Beirut?
The city is about 25 miles north of Beirut.
Mm-hmm. What did your father do in Lebanon?
My father was a child in Lebanon. He came at age 14.
Mm. With his parents?
No, he came alone. His father was already here. His mother had died, his younger brother had died, his sister, the only one left, she was married, and he came at age 14 here, all by himself, on the boat.
Did he ever tell you anything about the both of you? Do you remember any stories like that?
I remember it took an awfully long time. It took about a month. I don't know what level he occupied in the boat. I think we all came the cheapest way possible at that time. We came into Ellis Island. I think this was the heyday of the mass immigration in this country in the early 1900s. And I've always been amazed. I never quite understood how he got at age 14 from Ellis Island to Youngstown High. If you're a 14-year-old boy today, he says, if you're capable, you need to do that, but he did it. He didn't quite come to Youngstown. He most of the people from our district of Lebanon came south of Youngstown in the early 1900s. Few came to Youngstown, but others, by majority, went to a town south of here on the Ohio River called Wellsville, Ohio. And the surrounding district of Liverpool, Stratton, Ohio, all the way down to Toronto. The reason they went there is because of the flourishing of the boom town. Flourishing with the railroads were heavy there, and the brickyards, and the bricks and pipes.
Was there ever any mention of pottery?
Pottery was there, one of the major industries. I was reaching for that word.
So he went there with his father in Wellsville? Did he go to join his father?
He went to join his father.
Do you know what your grandfather was doing in Wellsville?
My grandfather operated a dry goods store. The old store was sold to men's clothing. And he went out also house to house peddling. Most people did that. They carried a sack and rolled up. They would go house to house, and they had their customers, and they had a route, like the milkman has today.
What about your mother?
My mother was born in Youngstown, but she went back before she was a year old, taken back to Lebanon by her parents. She grew up there and educated there at the age of 18.
And they came back to Youngstown?
Parents came before her. She was left behind with her sister and her brother, care of her uncle. So I don't recall how many years, but it was some time until they completed her education, and then the three of them came together.
How did your parents meet? Do you know?
They met here. My father met my mother here in Youngstown. At that time, he lived in Wellsville, Ohio. People, I suppose it's still true today, on those days, they sought out their home and married their home.
And then did he move, when they got married, did he move to Youngstown right after they
got married? Yes, he did. At that time, there was a movement already starting from Wellsville up to Youngstown. Things were going bad. So they got married here, and they stayed here. She never went.
Did you ever hear anything about their wedding? Did they have a 2-week wedding?
I heard they had a 3-day wedding. It seemed like 2 years.
Do you remember what year they were married?
1930, I think.
Because I talked to some other people, and they just gotten here from Lebanon and gotten married, and they had stayed, you know, still for very long. So by the 1930, they were cutting it down.
Yeah, the weddings at that time had a very lengthy prescribed ritual.
What do you remember about the community you grew up in? Were there a lot of other Lebanese Maronites living near you?
Most of the people that I knew lived around in the area. Shehi, 4th Avenue, Rigby, Wilson Avenue, Jackson Street. I was over to Lincoln Park, there were most of the people that I knew were Lebanese. I knew their houses, where they lived, everybody was in the house. Many of us would visit, walking back and forth.
What year do you remember
that
the church moved to Shehi?
I think the older people were.
Okay, I may have gotten that on another tape, but I was just sort of what do you remember most about the community? What's your most vivid memory of about the church community, the Lebanese community?
Most of the memory, I think, is a general reflection, is the closeness with the Lebanese community had to their church. They seem to have retained the philosophy or the style of life that they had in Lebanon, the village where everything centered around the church. The church always occupied a prominent central position in the village in their life. And the things I remember best is Sundays and especially a weekday. The new masses were the church time and the bell was tolled, and the older people would come out of their home and start walking towards the church. You could see them coming from all directions, even on weekdays. Mm-hmm. Of course, during the weekdays, the men would be working, so they would change the women and the old men.
Do you remember what time, was it in the early morning,
yeah? I think they were in the morning, yeah, but in those days they didn't have.
What about in school? Say you went to Sacred Heart?
Sacred Heart.
So you got your religious training daily. Did you go to a catechism at the church?
No, we did not. No, we got it in a class, religious class.
And like your parents didn't mind so much that it wasn't, say, a Maronite school?
Not
Latin,
at all.
There wasn't anything?
The Maronites, although they're attached to their rites, they really are very Catholic. There's absolutely nothing wrong with going to a Latin church. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
What do you remember about the church on Wilson Avenue? You said you were just a child. What is your recollection of that?
Well, it was a small church. It was a standard shape for the usual small church frame building with an attached house. There was a basement or a hall, as we call it, where most of the activities were held. The hall was as big as the church, so it seems to be too big. But the wedding, funerals, everything was held out of the hall. So I recollect going with my parents to church or to more vividly than a funeral.
Did you receive your first communion in Wilson Church?
No, I received my first communion in Sacred Heart.
Oh, with your class?
Sacred Heart.
Mm-hmm. How about, do you remember being confirmed? Where was the Maronite church to tell me you were confirmed?
I was confirmed in the Sacred Heart Church.
Mm-hmm. So again, it goes right along with the Richard School. What do you remember about Shehi Church? What did it look like?
After it became a church?
Yeah.
It was a very large building, but it had two parts to it. Because it was originally a school with two buildings connected, so they had to remodel it along the same line. It had a red brick exterior, which was veneered on the old building. One side was the church, and the other side was a hall, two halls in fact, and living quarters upstairs.
For the priest.
For the priest.
What do you remember about the priest? Tell me about him.
Well, it really, it's in my memory, it's really within with one priest only during that part of my life, but my senior year he bothered me. He was with us for 32 years.
Is there one in the other priest in your church? Is he the only one?
He was the only one who served alone. Mm-hmm. It would be a priest that make it on a cover. There was this one recollection of a Latin priest who used to cover before Father E came, and I think for a period of time after came, he stayed with the community, he'd come and visit us. Father Highland, I don't remember his first name, but he's an Irish priest. He got to know him quite well, and he visited us, and he'd come back to town. In fact, he taught Cray and Gaelic. I don't remember the word now, but I remember the kind of class in Gaelic at that time.
What do you remember say about the priests in the community? Did Father Eve visit a lot the homes? Was there closeness there?
Yeah, Father Eve visited. He had his friends, like Junior had.
Mm-hmm.
But he was rather pretty with visiting.
Mm-hmm.
And once a year, he'd try and get around to visit everybody.
What about other leaders of the community? Do you remember any other people who were particularly active, say, in the church, not necessarily the priests, but, you know, in all churches, there's sort of certain people who serve, you know, if they lead the organization.
Sure. I think there's a spot I could come up with, you know, aside from priests. I didn't mean incidentally to say only knew one priest. I could look like other priests, but Father Eve was the main one. I have questions of priests before Father Eve. Of course, I know them after.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I took to do.
Well, anything. It's mostly he's talking about the church, but if you remember.
He probably got the older priest. Father was probably. Leaders of the community. Where were we?
Where would we begin? Well, Mrs. Francis seems to have been very involved in, say, the choir for a very long time. People like that.
Mrs. Francis served for years with her voice in the picture. She really did it for quite a service. Being there and doing her concert. Leaders within the church area itself, I can reflect others. There was a Thomas Davies.
In relation?
Yeah, I was from the family. And he served with priests. He was like a sacristan.
Mm-hmm.
He would be there with the incense, be on the altar, would be like that. An altar boy, but really a sacristan. And at the funeral, he would be with the priest, carrying the incense and everything. He would go to the cemetery with him. For years he did this. And his son, I said followed in the tradition of respect, was also working at the same time as the Bible, but mainly in the choir. He would sing and take a lot of solos. He was my godfather. And they really made the liturgy. There were others, I don't know if I remember all their names.
Well, maybe it would help if you, were there certain organizations in the church, like, you know, say the Latinites, there are Mesa Columbus, the Latinites.
Yeah.
Was there anything like that?
Yeah, there was the Mass Conception Fidelity.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Daughters of Lebanon, I'm not sure. And there's the St. Mary's Club,
mm-hmm.
And they divided it into St. Mary's Senior and St. Mary's Junior. But I wasn't active in these clubs for anything.
Do you know basically what they did, what their purpose was?
Service. Very active.
Were there anything recently, you know, you go, say, downtown, down to Youngstown, and you go out to Southern Park Mall and you see all these food stuff? Do you remember if there was anything like that in earlier times? How about now? Do people from the Maronite Church participate in
this? They do, to some extent, but I don't think they participated as a church body. They didn't really do an individual effort, a group effort.
Do you remember any non-Christian
Lebanese
communities in Israel? Or even now? Do you know of any?
No, I don't recall non-Christian Lebanese when I was a child. Right now, I don't believe I know any either in the area. It is Christian immigration to the church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you ever hear any reference about them?
No, I don't.
Were the non-Christian Lebanese, did anyone ever mention them? Was it sort of a...
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Well,
we knew our
say?
History. Our parents taught us the history of Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
We knew from the of them did not immigrate.
Was there an acceptance of the Muslim people? Of course, they weren't in the community, but...
Yes, there was an acceptance, but I can't get close to this, because, you know, our parents came here as kids, and I grew up here, so I don't think they know the relationship of the Christian and Muslim Lebanese. But I've never heard anything other than that there were half-Christian, half-Muslim. What stories have been told to us? Some bad stories. Been to the invaders, which were certain elements of the Arab Muslims that came into part of Africa, invaded the Ottoman Empire, but within the country itself, I don't recall.
Mm-hmm. What year did your father come here?
1914.
So that's just at the beginning of the First World War. What about jobs in the community? Do you remember any of the people having, say, similar jobs? Did they go to similar places? Maybe there was a language barrier, or...
Most people work in steel mills.
I've heard a lot about people work at restaurants. Do you remember any type of language problems, say, that your parents might have had, or were they pretty... together by the time?
I think they had it together. I don't recall language problems or language, their accent. They weren't as special as the language as they should be, but there was not a problem in my experience.
Mm-hmm. It didn't keep them from, say, getting jobs or functioning?
Not at all. In fact, my father never hesitated to make a speech in English. He never went to school.
He never went to school?
No.
At all?
Maybe a few months.
Mm-hmm.
No real formal training.
Mm-hmm. What about your mom?
She went to high school. Graduated high school.
What about women working? Is there any type of...
Oh, yeah. Women working? The hard working people were women.
Outside of housework.
Outside of housework. Women in the Lebanese community, you take it several categories. First, there were those who were home, who took care of their family, made ends meet, and they were terrible.
Were these normally large families?
Not necessarily large. Even average families had they did everything they could to keep the house clean, the house warm, people fed. I have recollections of those families that the husband was out really working, dog tired, and the woman doing the best she could at home. So they both worked in that area, but there was something I remember about the Lebanese woman. I don't know if it was unique. But many of them came alone from Lebanon. I can name you a number, but I don't think left their husbands and their families there. In certain instances, they were still children, young children. And they'd come here, live alone, or live maybe with a friend, and go out peddling. They would have peddlers in Roseville. This is a common trade, and they would have all their wrappings, their doilies, their pillowcases, their books, whatever, and they built them out of the house, summer and winter. Very few drove. Most walked or took the bus. The streetcar. They'd take their package wrapped up with the rope on the streetcar and go out the house. They worked like that. They made enough money to send back to Lebanon to support the family and to educate their children. The people were desperate. What drove the Lebanese immigration to starvation? It wasn't persecution. they were starting. There was no way for them to live. Tony.
All right, you were saying that the reason that a lot of these Lebanese came was because they were scared. And what was the problem? Was the farmer in that
group? It was the circumstances leading up to the war. And they were really isolated, cut off the ocean, the port. You really isolated the country. You were extremely lost. The travel at that time was all booked on foot. Up in the mountains, literally hours on foot away from the closest supply line. You couldn't live that way. You couldn't be subjected to the threat of the entity.
Was this the Turkish blockade?
The Turkish blockade, no. I'm not that good a historian, but I think that sounds right.
Okay. What about kids working in the Lebanese community? Were you ever encouraged to get a job when you were young, or others?
Encouraged to get education.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's true of most of the families. I'm not aware of any child labor abuses, but I think some kids worked. But they certainly didn't work. You know,
how about paper
use? Yeah, paper use. The only thing I could say about kids working is the very first group that came, like, father's generation at the age of 14, 15. It seems that everybody came over was 14 years old. It was astonishing how many came at age 14. I don't know the reason for that.
Perhaps they were considered adults?
Maybe. Could be. They did work. And I remember my father telling me that he worked at the mill at age 15. He became a foreman at 15. They didn't have the law at that time. He worked hard. None of the children, subsequent children, they were all encouraged to
education. Maybe a story of the parents always wanting children to have that. What about when you were a child, were you encouraged to take a little bit of money and put it in the collection plate every Sunday, or did your parents do that?
No, we did it. We were encouraged to do that.
Do you remember how much you gave?
A dime.
A dime? What changes have you seen, say, in your church from the time, you know, that you can start remembering the church? What are the major changes in the Maronite church over the past 30, 40 years?
How do you mean that?
Okay. Organization, social ties.
The church, our community here?
Right.
I think the changes is the development from the revolution, from the ghetto church to a church that retained its spiritual heritage, but its membership was thoroughly integrated and assimilated.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the, all that encompasses. We were truly a ghetto church when we grew up. And the Lebanese now are really such a part of the community, they couldn't separate us. Found the fact that we're all good men. So we've retained our spiritual heritage and still go to the church and try and keep that spiritual aspect alive.
What about church organizations? Has there been a change in these? Have these been constant over the years? The ones you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, those have been constant. The major change is that the community reorganized itself before it built the Meridian Road complex and formed the parish council along the line, democratic line for the election. And it's that council that really moved the community to put in place that complex. Not alone, of course, with the rest of the community and the club and everyone. But it laid down the plan
I will really respond to that. What was your first impression?
First trip was 1973, second trip 1974. The first impression was the, even before I landed from the air, the absolutely stunning beauty of the country. It was everything anyone had ever told me about. And it's hard to live up to the reputation that they did. It's unique in all the world, geographically.
And then you went again?
I went in 1974 and took my two older children. At that time, they were 14 and 15.
How many children do you have?
Six, five boys, and one girl.
Is your wife Lebanese?
She's Lebanese.
Where is her family from?
Her family's from North Jackson. Mm-hmm. Originally from Youngstown, but 20 years ago, they were from North Jackson.
Did your father ever
go
back?
Never went back.
Did he remain ties to the village?
Kept ties to the village, kept ties to his sister, helped his sister and her family through the long, terrible years of the war, depression and war. Kept very close ties to his nephews. Was rather proud of their academic achievements. One of them was truly outstanding. And a priest in the Lebanese community and teaches at the Sorbonne in France. But he never went back and couldn't get him to go back.
He didn't want to?
And the bottom line is he didn't want to, yes. So the reason I can only speculate is that he didn't have time. He kept saying that if he went, you would need a lot of time there. Talked in terms of being there months, not weeks. And the opportunity never presented itself.
A lot of the people in the church seemed to have really kept a lot of ties with Lebanon community. Someone was telling me they're sending blankets to Lebanon. And is this a typical thing? Is this sort of frequent?
Yeah. Lebanese community has ties with Lebanon at various levels. The basic level is that the people here, almost all of the people here, have relatives, immediate family, or cousins in Lebanon. And they've helped them in various ways, either continually or if the need arose. Then the second tier of assistance, in the village concept, the village to village. Most of the people, oh, not most, but a lot of the people here in the community are from my village. And they have a club, one of the oldest charter clubs around here, the Little Island, this type of club. And since the war in Lebanon, we have now, we're putting the finishing touches on 8 rooms of sanctuary, which we finance.
In Bishan.
It's about a village of 1,000 people that has no medical facility. So we're just finishing an 8-room dispensary, and I hope, if it allows, that the situation around me, that myself and a couple other physicians will be going there to help with the equipment, the education, and the paramedical people that we take care of. So that's the city to village. Third tier is they've always responded on a national level. What we're having now is a national drive. We're collecting blankets, clothes, money, particularly blankets of the society to assist the refugees who are in need, not those in the village, but those around the roof. That's what the present drive is including. So they've helped the various tiers.
And this is a continuous thing, it's whenever they could afford it, they helped. Is there anything particularly Lebanese about the community? What do you think in the city? You said that, yeah, you blend into the community, sure you do, but your church seems very close and a unit. Is there anything you need to that, your unit area?
I don't know if it's unique. It's just amazing to me how American everyone is, but yet retaining features of the old country, as we call it, that they like. Such as the custom of following through on social obligations that are passed down from Lebanon, but not necessarily American. That is, their obligations, wedding, happy time, and funerals and things, which are taken as a matter of course. You go to, say, a wake, a funeral, because, simply because, that there is a distant relationship or that this person is from your village in Lebanon. And it's expected that you go, and you go. And that's from top to bottom, the highest level of the community to the lowest. These ties continue. And it's amazing how they continue. The awareness of the community, of being together, and happiness, and presence. And in times of religious celebration, the church is full, and time to sleep. And in times of need, like the driver. Oh, and they retain their ethnic dances. That's all right, everybody has that. Mm-hmm. But yet, aside from that, they're so completely American, it's actually hard to assemble them and make them move as Lebanese. I don't know whether you realize or know that the Lebanese American community in the country, up until a couple years ago, was the only community that was not organized. Because I've been active on a national level now for a number of years, and everyone from this whole world has an official, recognized structure in this country, except the Lebanese. And I've been working at trying to give them this. One of the people who's been interested in this because of the Lebanese war, which needed support, and it's obviously difficult. Because they're so thoroughly assimilated into society. But yet, they're known. Their identity is very well known. But they don't think ethnically when it comes to national issues. They think as American. And that, I think, is going to be fine.
Okay. That's about all. Is there anything that you'd like to ask?
Yeah. Okay. A lot to talk about, but you have to be reminded.
Well, what about, then, how about social events when you were young in the community? What about, do you remember, I've heard that they had picnics, I've heard they had parties at the church. Tell me about them.
Well, yeah, aside from weddings, which are a big social event.
Still.
They were picnics in the summer, which were really big bashes. Everybody would turn out. They would go on all day long, adults and kids.
Where would they hang out?
Usually on the farm of somebody in the community. A number of them had farms on the east side, and they'd go out there. And they'd have certain contests. One of the most popular things was for the men to lift a marble dish. It was a large block of marble.
Mm-hmm.
They made a foot and a half square, cube. So it was hollowed out in the middle so that they could pound the meat. They didn't have grinders in those days. They had a hammer and a pestle, more than a pestle, I think. What they do is put a stick in there, wedge a stick, and they try and lift it above their head. And then they pull it. Things like that. It was going all day.
What did the kids do while these guys are lifting all the
things? We ran around. Yeah. Entertainment was very simple.
Do you remember, I think they Jane Chisholm, Ethan Chisholm. Oh, you're assimilated.
There's no special education for kids.
Well, I've read some other interviews with not necessarily Lebanese people, you know, but some of the people mentioned James that I've certainly never heard of. They were just things that were unfamiliar, say, to my generation.
I may have forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Some of the ladies that sit around in the shop and see it all that.
Yeah. Arabic food, that's what it means, kibbeh. So kibbeh is raw lamb mixed with cracked wheat and salted, sufficient condiments, but they eat it raw, that's what Arabic food. That's the national food. And there's a special salad with cracked wheat. With all the vegetables cut very fine, we call that tabbouleh.
Mm-hmm.
And there's shish kebab, meat on the skewer.
Did they roast lamb?
They roast lamb, legs of lamb or whole lamb.
Mm-hmm. Who would bring these to you? The people who had the farm?
No, the people who were coming would bring their own to you, but if they wanted a whole lamb or a couple of lambs, they would chip in at the very head of the family. Lebanese were never really known for desserts in that sense, but they had rich pastries, the lawa, which is a rich pastry, very thin crust with honey on it, stuffed with nuts.
I had some of that at Mr. Hayes.
Yeah. But like as far as pies and cakes and things, that's no more an American tradition.
What about yogurt? Is yogurt something
Lebanon.
That comes from Lebanon?
Well, it originated in the Middle East, probably in Lebanon, but it's made in the home. No.
Mm-hmm.
Fermented milk.
I also had that yesterday. What about card parties? You mentioned in the winter time, we get together and we have card parties. Did the children come along?
They may, kids would run around.
What if you didn't want to go? Did they have to get your babysitter, or was there somebody usually in the home to take care of you?
Yeah, there's usually somebody in the home, the grandfather or grandmother. The family stayed together. It was not at all unusual to find a newly married couple or a young couple with children having a grandparent.
Okay, you were saying that a lot of times there'd be a lot of different family members in the home. When you were young, did you have grandparents?
Yeah, my father's father lived with us when I was 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He was my babysitter.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about him?
I remember that he would take me to movies with him.
What did you see?
Cowboys. Many times I wouldn't go, my mother would want me to stay home, but every Saturday evening, he'd stay with me in the evening and he'd go out and they'd have to take inventory in his store or they'd have to go to Pittsburgh to get stock. He'd stay there with me.
Where was your parents' store?
On East Federal Street. It's all level now. 373 East Federal Street. I remember that. Funny how you remember dates or numbers. It was in the first block from Andrews Avenue.
And you may have mentioned before, like this one, right?
It was a dry goods store. Clothing, black goods.
What about, do you have brothers?
No brothers.
Is that unique for a Lebanese family?
Yeah. Not unique, but you usually find more than one child.
Mm-hmm. You said your father had brothers?
He had a brother and a sister.
Did they come here?
No.
No, he didn't. What 17 or 18. Were you active in the church? That's something that isn't necessarily current today. A lot of young people aren't active in the church. That would have been, what, the beginning of the 50s or the mid-50s?
No, I don't think I'd say I was active in the church. I came to things that was expected to come to. I wasn't active in the church. I was more tied to the sacred heart and the earth one high school than I did.
Mm-hmm. Which could be a religious activity. Were you happy to be going to a Catholic school?
Mm-hmm.
What do you remember about? Remember any of your teachers?
Yes, I do. I'm sorry I don't remember more.
Well, tell me about your favorite teacher. Or the worst teacher. Those tend to stick out in your mind sometimes. Were there any Lebanese sisters at this time? I know there's a Lebanese order there.
Yeah, but there were none of them. Not here.
The Maronite nuns? Where are they located?
They're located near the shrine of Our Lady of Lebanon on North Brookview Road in North Jackson.
Mm-hmm. How long is
this? We'll be here in about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Is this a new order?
No, it's an old order. But they branched out from Lebanon and came here to put them in.
There was a sister at Mass one day. I was there. Did the first reading.
Yeah, Sister Isabel. She's the head of the order.
Mm-hmm.
She was.
I don't know. I guess that's about it. Okay, what organizations do you belong to with the church now?
I'm in the Youngstown chapter of the American Lebanese.
What do you do?
I'm a member.
What does the league do?
The league is a national organization with an office in Washington, and it has a chapter in most major cities that have Lebanese in them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first serious attempt to give them a national structure, a national identity that I spoke
mm-hmm.
about earlier.
That you were speaking of.
I'm mm-hmm. very active with this group.
Mm-hmm.
And I serve now as the national chairman of the board of directors. Serve as their president. It's growing quite rapidly because of the events in Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I think that's the only official thing I belong to. But I've been active in various capacities in the church. I was the first president of the parish council.
Mm-hmm. What all is involved in the parish council? What do they do?
It's a deliberative body. It serves as an advisory group to the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
It takes many of the tedious burdens off to the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
When I was president, we started the building program on Meridian Road. And we really took over the building program, the financing, the architectural building.
Mm-hmm. How was that financed? Was it just from the Maronite Church, or did you get contributions, say, from the Latin area?
No, maybe from the parishioners and the big mortgage.
And the big mortgage. Yeah. That's a very nice center. When was it completed?
It was completed formally last year with the opening of the senior center, the little school building.
Mm-hmm. The Maronite Center that's in front of the church,
yeah.
Is that just for, is that to rent out? Is that to make money for the church to help with the mortgage?
With all those things. It was built first with the idea that we could only afford one building, so let's make it a multi-purpose building.
Mm-hmm.
We have the church, but design it as a hall so that we can also generate income.
Mm-hmm.
But we were so successful that we never stopped building. We moved from the center over to build the church. So, turned out to be one of the nicest facilities in town, and it does support and underwrite one of our programs.
Mm-hmm. Do you know if the church women, do they have anything directly in contact with that, or is there someone else who operates that?
The center is operated by a separate board, people that are in the community, along with the pastor.